In this area, where presumably you know that to some extent you run against the climate of the times, this is by no means the only area where you're very happy or prepared or willing to speak out, even knowing that what you say is going in some way to fall foul of current fashion, current thinking. It's something you've never been afraid to do.
Hope not.
And yet, I know when I've written back cover blurbs for your books and occasionally described you as a controversial figure, you've not been too happy about that.
Well, I'm not happy about any sort of label. I don't seek controversy as some people do. I just express what I think and what I've experienced, no more than that. And sometimes I do criticize, whether in a review or in a book review or in some other way, certain views which I think are inconsistent with the teaching of the Buddha, especially when those views purport to represent Buddhism. So I've never sought or courted controversy, but I've always been ready for it if it happened to present itself to me.
But you've never seemed to feel the need to count your criticisms in the language or maybe a slightly tentative mode, which is more of our current era.
Well, I'm not tentative where the Buddhist teaching is concerned. Yeah. If I had been very tentative about it, I wouldn't have devoted my life to it. And I, if necessary, I'm quite happy to stand alone. I don't want to compromise. And nowadays, people are so ready to compromise. They're so afraid of conflict, though of course it's never a real conflict. It's just a verbal sort of thing, usually. But so often people want to smooth everything over, to make everything nice, everything sweet, everything acceptable. And I'm afraid there is this tendency at present within the movement itself, and I think it's a dangerous one, and which threatens our survival. Or perhaps even, our survival as an effective Buddhist movement. We must have a cutting edge. Without that, really, we're nothing.
What would you see as being the essential features that would constitute a cutting edge at this moment?
I think no different from what they were in the past. I see no reason to change. Perhaps they need to be more strongly affirmed than in the past, just because the society around us has changed so much. There is, for instance, so much more concern about economic matters, so much concern about money and the wish for more money and more and a more comfortable life and so on. And this has started invading the movement too, I'm afraid.
But do you not think there was an element of inevitability to that, that as the movement grew to a particular size, even the order grew to a particular size, that there would be an inevitable broadening of our base, and therefore an inevitable intercourse with the cultures that we're in. We were no longer a small little intimate world unto ourselves.
But in each centre, each spiritual community is a small world unto itself, just as we were, just as the whole left of Bellevue was in the early days.
Though when you once put it to us that the FWBO was going to be more than merely a movement, it was going to be a people. I wonder whether by that you meant something along those lines of our being a much broader community, a more heterodox community.
No, I didn't mean more heterodox, but I mean, bearing in mind the fact that we do have a large presence in India, our basis is broader in the sense that more people are involved with us who have a minimal degree of commitment to us. There is a sort of pyramid, at least in theory, that are 40 members at the top of the pyramid, and then a little lower down there are mitras who've asked for ordination, then there are mitras who've not asked for ordination, and then there are our friends, and that lowest level is broadening all the time. So the pyramid has a broader base, but it's only a broader basin in the numerical sense, not in the spiritual sense.
But would you hope that at the top of a pyramid of commitment, that would be represented by people who are choosing to live quite intensively within a classic FWBO world?
Yes, I think so.
If that's the case, how do we avoid falling into the traditional model of a kind of monk-lay split?
It's not a monk-lay split, because some of the people at the top of the pyramid might be married, others might not be.
So you would allow for that?
Yes, inevitably. Yeah, but they're making only the point that, as we've said in the past, commitment is primary, lifestyle secondary. And genuinely secondary, yeah.
To what extent do you think of the movement as a child of your spiritual life, but also of your humanity, of your radical humanity?
I can't say that I think very much of the movement as my offspring. I don't think in that way at all.
But I do feel you have tried to inject into the movement something of a spark of the radicalism with which you've tried to live.
Yes, I've certainly tried to transmit, certainly to individuals, something of what you call my more radical approach, my more radical spirit. I do detect nowadays that little flame is flickering rather badly in the winds of change at the moment, and I'm rather sorry to see that, and I can hope it will be revived and strengthened.
What would it take?
Well, it would take more individuals being more committed to the revival of that flame and feeling it within themselves and wanting to communicate it to others. Not anything organisational.
No.
I might, of course, be tempted now to suggest that more senior and organisationally active order members might be well advised to take a year off of quiet, solitary reflection. I'm sure the movement wouldn't collapse in the meantime, I'm quite sure of that. And that might give them a better perspective on what needed to be done than tinkering with the organisational arrangements.